May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Because Jesus came, there is righteousness from our epistle lesson. So how righteous are you? Or put it more simply, how good are you? Are you a good person? Would others say about you, he or she is a good person? Honest, loving, compassionate. I think those are the things that people usually say when they say, that's a good person. He's a good person. Is that you? You know, those of you who've lived a little while, has your life turned out the way you, are you the kind of person you hoped you would be? Or let me ask another question. Is that even important to you? To be righteous. You know, sometimes it really surprises me what some people think is important, and I would guess would not be important to most people. There's a tombstone in Wisconsin that leaves no doubt about this, what this one man thought was most important about his life. On the tombstone, of course, is his name, date of his birth, and his date of his death. And then on the tombstone, carved this inscription, bold 300 in 1982. He obviously thought that was important. So are you righteous, and is that important to you? Most of us, if we would be completely honest, would probably say what this young man did when he filled out a work application. He wrote this, sometimes I am trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. In the next paragraph, he said this, and sometimes I am not trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And that is us, isn't it? More often than not, we judge ourselves to be pretty good people. We overlook our flaws, which we consider minor, and compared to other people, and we usually pick someone who's really not good. Compared to other people, we have to end up in the ledger that says, good. We're good people. Paul writes this letter to the people of Philippi, that is the new Christians there, in appreciation of their partnership with them. Of all the churches that Paul founded, probably the church at Philippi, the Philippians, were the most supportive. The most supportive and the most that brought a smile to his face. Paul founded the church there, and the Philippians, with their new knowledge and faith about what Jesus Christ had done for them, saw that their lives were being transformed. They had become self-aware. It was like they were in this dark room. And now the light went on. They had ceased deceiving themselves. C.S. Lewis once put it this way, Christianity has no message to those who do not realize they are sinners. These Philippian Christians had come to realize that they were not righteous at all. Now the joy they felt was incredible because the gospel of Jesus Christ had informed them that they had been given a righteousness from Jesus, which was implanted in them and began to bear fruit within them. That was obvious. It was changing everything about them. The Bible had always predicted that when the Messiah would come, he would restore righteousness on earth. Jesus' birth changed everything in this world. Everything. before him and yesterday among those who reject the gospel, people are ruled by their sinful appetites. Unrestrained, they turn aggressive and violent. But even when restrained, these sinful appetites, even when they're restrained, there is an evil lurking in people as they grasp and claw for what they crave. God, in his infinite wisdom, at a certain time in history, because ours is a historical faith, at a certain time in history, there on the cross, he brought forth this splendid plan, which we call the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus would live a perfect life. He would be entirely righteous. He would be the sacrificial lamb. In that one moment, as I've mentioned, the cross, he would take all the unrighteousness of people upon himself, of the whole world, and he would give his righteousness to the whole world. But unfortunately, some will not receive it. But it was meant for everybody. This was and is a genius plan, amazing in every way. But think about it for a moment. God didn't have to do it this way. God could have acted otherwise. One of my favorite stories is told by a country comedian, now deceased, and if you're not from the South, you probably won't know this name, but Jerry Clower. Yeah. Anybody know Jerry Clower? Yeah. Oh, boy, we got a lot of people here. Yeah. He's one of my favorite comedians. He tells a story about a lady who lived down in Amity County, Mississippi. She lived near a construction site where workers were putting on a tar roof on this building. This lady had, count them now, 16 children. 16 children. Well, one day, one of them got lost. And she went out hunting him and discovered that he was at the construction site and had actually fallen into a 50-gallon drum of black roofing tar. She reached down, hauled him out, wasn't filled, of course, took one look at him, shoved him back down in that drum. And she said, "Boy, it'd be a lot easier to have another one than to clean you up." And you know, God could have done that. He could have said, "It'd be a lot easier just to make new people than to clean you up." But he didn't do that. No, he cleaned us up. Now the righteousness of Christ takes root in our lives and those who believe. And it makes all the difference. This gospel, this righteousness gifted to us, those of us who believe in Jesus, calls us to renounce all pretense. The greatest threat to those of us who call ourselves Christians, and I hope that's all of us here, is that we deceive ourselves and that we cling to our own righteousness and supposed goodness. In other words, to become phonies and hypocrites. To put the cart before the horse. To claim that our goodness makes us good and acceptable to God. When in fact, it's God through Jesus Christ who makes us good so that we seek to be good, seek to be righteous. It's always that way. If we see it any other way, we have put a big X to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't have needed him to come. You know, I've read that the Transport Authority in Paris, France, uses 1.5 tons of perfume every month to cover over those terrible odors of the subway. And I thought to myself, had you thought about this? Why don't they just look for the source of the stench and be done with it altogether? Let's stop being Pharisees. You and I are sinners. There's parts of us and things that we do that are not good at all. We need forgiveness. We are not holier than thou. We have no reason to boast. God cleans us up, just as he does with all believers. Let's not be hypocrites. And let's be out front on this. Let us give Jesus Christ the credit. If there's any goodness, any righteousness in me, a righteousness that's really righteous, not one that looks like righteousness because we're doing things out of self-interest and selfishness. It's because Jesus cleaned me up and made me a new person eager to do good. When a young fella at college decided he couldn't come home for Christmas, so he sent his dad a set of inexpensive cufflinks. And along with the gift, he sent him this card with a little note. "Dear Dad, this is not much, but this is all you could afford." Actually, God in Jesus Christ floods us with his righteousness. Whatever we do, whatever we give, it came from him first. It is the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness. So whatever we accomplish, whatever we do in this world, maybe we should do what the athletes do. Have you seen this? Athletes who make a great play, some of them do this, they do this. They give God credit. Maybe we should be doing that a lot. All credit to you, all glory to you, Jesus Christ. Finally, I think it's important that we seek righteousness. As believers in Jesus, we are in that lit room. We can distinguish between good and bad. And stop and think about this. People who are not in the light, they get real fuzzy about what's good and what's bad. But even more than that, we can distinguish between better and best. We should strive for excellence in our living. Morally, we should endeavor to be the best of people. Too many of us are tempted to be like that man who goes to his doctor and says to him, "What can I do to feel better without giving up what makes me feel awful?" No, if we're going to be Christians, we have to leave behind some things of our old life. Maybe even some things that are not that bad, but are not that good either. We have to leave them behind. Back to C.S. Lewis for a moment. He said some really interesting things and good things. He said this, "Good and evil both increase at compound interest. That is why little decisions you and I make every day are of such infinite importance." Now, these are my words now to interpret this. In other words, a little turn, just a little turn, can take you down the wrong road. You have an errant thought that leads to anger, that can lead to wrathful words, that can lead to a violent action. It all started with that little turn. On the other hand, when we do our utmost to imitate Jesus in the smallest of things, beginning with our thinking, it can lead to the most wonderful and loving acts. So let's aim for righteousness. In fact, be righteous. You will not be sexually impure. God has given us the Holy Spirit. We can resist this. You will turn away from greed. You have been given the power to do that. You will not get drunk or use drugs. You will be clear-minded, sober-minded. You will not slander others or become an expert in quarreling. That does not please our God. You will not steal. You will not swindle. You'll not take a postage stamp that doesn't belong to you, because we aim for moral excellence. You will be honest, banishing lies and deceptions from your speech. Even those little lies. And most of all, you will love just as Christ loved you. You've been given the power to live that kind of life. Not perfectly, granted, but you're in the lit room as believers in Jesus. Your eyes have been enlightened. Implanted in you is that seed that can produce tremendous fruit, because you're part of the vine. You've been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, let me be a righteous person. In Jesus' name and to His glory, amen. Amen. Amen.